Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're talking more about magnifying God. When we magnify God, we don't make him bigger than he is. How many of you know when you magnify something, you don't actually change the size of what you're looking at? You simply make it bigger in your eyes. When we magnify God, we make him bigger in our eyes. We expand our picture of him. We get a better viewer perspective of him, a more accurate picture of him from the Bible, and then we focus our attention on him as he truly is. One reason God seems small to us, one reason we need to magnify God is because we don't see the big picture. When I say big picture, I mean God's plan for man, God's reason for creating man. For many of us, salvation is about getting our sins forgiven so we don't go to hell. But salvation is way more than that. And we are taking some time this week to magnify God by talking about his plan. Salvation is about being made like Jesus through the operation of God's life in us. Now, we said yesterday, God is small to us because in trying to understand salvation and the plan of God, we start with ourselves in our fallen condition. And we try to understand God's plan from that vantage point. We begin with the fact that we are guilty of sin before a holy God and that Jesus came to pay for our sins. But let me say it this way. Many of us still struggle with a sense of guilt, unworthiness, and shame because we know what we were before we were saved. And because of our flaws, failures, shortcomings, and sins before we were saved, and even our flaws after we're saved, we have trouble believing God really cares about us or that he'll come through for us. See, we often say things like, God knew what a goof-up I would be, but he wanted me anyway. Well, when we do that, instead of magnifying God, we minimize him and we minimize his plan. Yes, we were born into a fallen race. Yes, we were marred by the fall, and through Adam's sin, we were made sinners by birth. But God's plan for you and me did not begin when we were born into this earth. Our history with God did not begin when we were born into a fallen race. Your history with God did not even begin when you committed your first sin. Your history with God began in eternity. God knew you in eternity past. You have always been in the mind of God. Now, I'm not saying you existed because you didn't until the moment of conception in your mother's womb, but because God is all-knowing, there's never been a time that God didn't know of you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, according as he has chosen us, he is God the Father, according as God the Father has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before God ever formed the earth, he knew about you, and he chose you to become his son, to become his daughter, through what Jesus would do for you. Now, this is right where we left off yesterday. God knew and knows a perfect you. See, we analyze ourselves from our birth into this earth, into a fallen race, and we analyze ourselves in terms of our history of committing sin. But God knew and knows a perfect you. You before the race fell in Adam. Now, consider this. The Bible tells us that God made man in his image and in his likeness, does it not? I mean, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. The Living Bible says, let us make a man, someone like ourselves. So God made man like his maker. The New Living Bible says, let us make people in our image to be like ourselves. And so God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself. Now, When God created Adam, he created the whole race. God personally formed the dust of the earth into Adam's body and breathed into him the breath of life. But every other human being has been born through natural processes. Eve was taken out of Adam. God put him into a deep sleep, but she came out of Adam, is the point. And then they had kids who 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 had us. Now, Genesis chapter 1 says the work of creation was finished on the sixth day with the creation of man. The Bible says God is every man's creator. When did he create you and me? He created us in Adam. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. God made man when he made Adam. He made the whole race, potentially, in Adam. The DNA that's in you and me is traceable back to Adam. Isn't that right? Okay, so you were in Adam and I was in Adam. We could say so much about that, but the point for our discussion is this. When God created Adam, he created a whole race. Now, God's very first comment on what he created is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Everything God made, including you in Adam, was very good. The first comment God ever had about you was, you were very good. Did you ever read in Psalm 139, verse 14? Let me read it. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. This is David, praising God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, we often read that and use it as a reason why abortion is so egregious, so horrible, because God makes life in the human womb, and it's fearfully and wonderfully made. But, and that's absolutely right, I agree with that 100%, but how many of you know that little baby that comes out of mom is a sinner by nature? Is that right? I mean, they're innocent in the sense that if they die before they reach the age of accountability on the basis of Christ's sacrifice, they go to heaven. But David also said in Psalm 51, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Which is it? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, or I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me? Well, they're both correct. This one, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, has a broader meaning. When were we fearfully and wonderfully made? We were made fearfully and wonderfully in Adam. How many of you know little babies can be born with physical defects, with emotional defects, with mental defects? Do you see what I'm saying here? The you that God has known since eternity past is the perfect one he created in Adam. See, we look at ourselves and think, how could God love me? Well, the answer to that question is, how could he not love you? You're his creation. You're his offspring. See, man went astray in Adam. Man and the whole race in Adam went astray in Adam. Mankind is in the pig pen of sin and death. Man in Adam is the prodigal son. In the parable of the prodigal son, the father never stopped loving his son and was looking for, waiting for his return, ready to celebrate it. Luke 19:10 says, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Men in the pig pen are lost to their created purpose, lost to their original identity. See, we talk about man in sin is lost. And we mean on the way to hell, which that's absolutely right. But did you ever think that men are lost to God? They're lost sons. Now, let me be very clear. I am not saying that all men are sons of God. Unless you've made Jesus Lord of your life, you are not a son of God. Actually, the Bible says you're a child of the devil. There's two groups, children of God, children of the devil. Because there is a popular New Age teaching that we're all sons of God, we're all children of God is what they say, and we're all brothers. It doesn't matter what you believe or what you don't believe. Well, that's not right. That's not what the Bible teaches. But I'm wanting you to see something, that God made a perfect son in Adam, and a perfect race of sons in Adam. And when Adam and the race went into the pig pen of sin, they left Father's house and went into the pig pen. Now, you have to repent and come back to Father's house through Jesus Christ. But the point for our discussion is, men in the pig pen are lost to their created purpose. See, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus told three parables about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son in response to the Pharisees questioning his acceptance of sinners. But you remember what he said. When the lady lost the coin, she searched for it diligently till she found it. When the man lost the sheep, he searched for it diligently until he found it. And when the prodigal son left home, the father watched and waited for him to come home. Well, in the mind of the owners of the sheep, the coin, and the prodigal's father, the lost items did not cease to be what they were when they were lost. They still had value to the owner. Have you ever lost money? Money doesn't stop being valuable just because you don't know where it is. You'll turn the house upside down trying to find it. Lost men are valuable to God. He sees the coin stamped with his image and likeness. He sees the sheep of his flock that's gone astray. He sees his beloved son living in a pig pen. When God looks at men, he sees past the sin, past the fallen condition, to the original image he created. According to the Bible, men in their fallen condition still bear the image of God. Genesis 9:6 says we're not supposed to murder each other because men are made in the likeness of God. James chapter 3 verse 9 says we're not to curse each other because men are made in the likeness of God. That's talking about lost men. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that everybody's saved. You're not saved unless you put faith in Christ. I'm trying to get you to see the big picture so you can get beyond struggling with how could God love me? I'm such a goof up. God knew a perfect you, and salvation is about restoring you to the picture God's had in mind for men since eternity past. We'll pick it up
here
tomorrow.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy. Let's face it, everyone is busy these days, and when it comes to God's Word, there's a lot to learn. Diane can help you maximize your study time. For starters, you can order this week's lesson on tape or CD, or join Diane every Friday night for a live, in-depth teaching right here in St. Louis, Missouri, with worship provided by Mercy's Child. We meet at 7:30 p.m. each Friday at 4720 Jameson, right in the heart of beautiful St. Louis Hills. You'll be in the company of believers with like faith and passions. And we hope to see you this Friday. You can become a group leader and use Riches in Christ Bible study material. We will provide lessons on tape or CD with a study guide for everyone in your group. Call us for details. Send this teaching forth by partnering with us. Monthly partners help pay for radio time and receive our best teaching. Diane provides a website with MP3 audio, downloadable study guides, and much more. Visit www.richesinchrist.com. For more information, call us toll-free at 1-888-739-6619. That's toll-free 1-888-739-6619.